Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs of how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
All right. Awesome. To our listening audience, we want to share with you some good news of the mighty works that God's doing here at Neighbors of Hope. We have present with us our most recent graduate from our one-year addictions life change program, and that's Justin Rohrbach. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning.
How's it feel to be a graduate? How's it feel to have a victory that is Christ-centered in your life?
Honestly, it feels pretty good. You know, I've never accomplished much in my life. You know, now that I've accomplished less, it took me a while, but I did it, and it makes me feel pretty good, you know what I'm saying?
Good.
It's going to be interesting to see where I'll land next.
Yeah. Well, maybe here in the upcoming weeks or something, maybe we can get you back on the air and do a little interview and see where God's taking you next.
But absolutely.
We want to congratulate you and share that with our audience.
Thank you.
As far as our study today, gentlemen, we wrapped up our Latin study on the Gospel of Mark. And as we saw last week with Mark's story for Easter, it's an empty tomb, right? We have the indication of a resurrection story, narrative in Mark's gospel, but Mark doesn't leave us really with any appearance stories. There are some that are added much later to Mark's gospel, but after verse 8 and chapter 16, that's kind of the original ending, right? And we saw how the women run away amazed and afraid. Well, today I'd like to look at John's Gospel, chapter 21, and a little pericope that comes out of there. That is one of John's four appearance stories, post-resurrection. All right, so we can kind of conclude with an appearance story. So if I could have somebody read John chapter 21, beginning at verse 18 through 19. Is that right?
15
tonight. 15. Yeah. Thank you.
Jesus reinstates Peter. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." Third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And he said to him, "Follow me."
Good. Good. All right, first responses. What jumps out at you? Mr. Graduate?
Well, for me, the part where he's saying, Jesus is asking Peter, do you love me, and then he's like, "Yeah, I do." And he goes, "Take care of, my sheep, take care of, his people, just everything that God has gave us on this earth, And if, like for me, God entrusts me with, a daughter, why would I not take care of her, Now, if I go out there and continue the way I used to live, that ain't honoring God, that ain't loving God, that ain't doing nothing, Through my actions on a daily basis, what I take care of, what I do, the things I say, reflects on what I really care about and truly, really love.
Okay. Good. Good. Anybody else?
I don't know. I guess the conversation with Peter for me, when he keeps asking more and more, God's got me where God's got me, and God's got people everywhere they got them, and I can't look at other people's levels. For me, it's these levels. I'm spiritually, mentally, emotionally, these things, we keep climbing, we got to go through them. It's like, you got to fight, that's part of that you got to kill when you start comparing yourself, even in the Christian aspect, to your brothers and sisters, like where they're at, or you want to be there. It's just a weird thing, it's bringing more worldly concepts to this whole thing. But for me, in my past life, I always cheated and went, call my Chico's, get to next levels, because that's what I wanted when I wanted it, so I took control of it, and I'm learning that I have to go through these levels. And where I'm at is where he wants me at, and that's okay. And that's all that matters. You know?
Alright, well, maybe we'll come back to it. We're just kind of throwing some things out there, launch the conversation. You got anything?
The part that jumped out at me was very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. When you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Like, growing up, I always did what I wanted. You know what I mean? I never had nobody tell me what to do. Nobody had, never had no direction, no leader. I raised myself. You know what I mean? I took care of myself. I always did what I wanted, got money, whatever. And now, I got to do what God wants. You know what I mean? Learning to follow the way, you know. A lot of times it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times I got to do a lot of things I don't want to do, but I do them anyways, and it ends up being something I did want to do. You know what I mean? It fulfills me. It makes me feel better about myself or about myself and about others. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good.
It helps me.
Yeah. Got anything you want to add there?
I like, I don't know, I like looking at this a little different this time. That Peter was hurt thing stuck out to me. It doesn't say anything about Jesus intending to hurt him. It doesn't really, Peter doesn't really act retaliatory. I think, I don't know, it's one of those times where it makes me think about God using our emotions. You know, for somebody who sees time, for somebody who sees us outside of ourselves as God being spirit, why can't you use our emotional state to plant seed in us at times? You know, I don't know. I think that you know, trusting that God's power in our life is bigger than our own current circumstance, our own current emotional state, our own current feelings, if you will. That just sticks out at me today.
Excellent insights, gentlemen. Excellent reflections. See if I can pull all these pieces together for us real quickly. It's interesting, we live on the post side of the resurrection, right? I think the last words of this little segment of scripture, this pericope, right, that is follow me. Jesus was asking him to follow him before the crucifixion resurrection. He's still asking Peter to follow him. He's still asking us to follow him. Right? So let me come back to kind of what you guys are talking about on this this whole love thing. Right? I will refute, as you're reading the little subtitle, this is a reinstatement of Peter. I'm not so sure. I'm not convinced of that. This is kind of how the conversation would go in Greek. All right? We're familiar with agape. It's a Greek word. We like to translate it unconditional love. But in here, I said, well, it's best understood, you know, to will the good of the other. All right? You can love your enemy or agape your enemy. You can will the good of your enemy. It doesn't necessarily mean you're in a full agreement with your enemy. But you can still will their good, right? And then we have this Greek word, philia, or philio, philios. It's where we get our word Philadelphia, okay? Delphi, city, philia, brotherly love, right? The city of brotherly love, okay. So the conversation is actually an inclusion of both these words. The conversation looks like this. Jesus says, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter says, Lord, you know I Philos you. Take care of my sheep. Peter, do you agape me? And Peter says, Lord, you know I Philos you. Take care of my lambs. Peter, do you Philos me? And Peter says, Lord, you know I do. I'm not convinced Peter's gotten to a point to where he even loves Jesus unconditionally. Mm-hmm. Loves him like a brother. But is he really willing his good? Because if you're willing my good, you will then surrender when they take you to a place you don't want to go. When you finally will my good and love me unconditionally, you will follow me. And so maybe to some extent, it's not that Peter's being reinstated. The three times that he denied Jesus is what we like to say. Here's Jesus asking three times, do you love me? And he says, yes, I do. Right? Remember, before Peter denied Jesus, he says, look, I'll die for you. I'll go to the cross with you. And he didn't do that. Mm-hmm. So I think part of the hurt feelings comes as Peter's recognition is like, I'm still not there yet. And this is post-resurrection. I wasn't there before the crucifixion. I wasn't there at the crucifixion. Here it is, an appearance story, right? It's post-resurrection. I'm not sure I'm all the way there yet. And Peter's giving him a little help, right? Because when we can get to a point, I think the same challenges to us. When we get to a point to where we accept, right, the invitation to render under God everything, right, to will, in a sense, the good of Jesus, right? That may include being taken where we don't want to go. And that would summarize what it means to follow him in a post-resurrection culture. That would then mean, yes, taking care of my daughter. You know, I'd rather go out and play 18 holes of golf rather than go to my daughter's after-school program. Right, I mean, those type of simplistic choices, but they are, in a sense, no, the golf may maybe have to be sacrificed so you can take care of my daughter. You know, will her good. It's good for her. Right? I think you're absolutely right. For those of us that come from the addictive background, we're not very good with authority. So there are not many people that tell us what to do. And so to surrender under Jesus to the point is like, well, you know, I got that. You don't accept authority. That's why they're going to put a rope around you and drag you. Where you don't want to go. You know, will we go resisting? Well, we recognize if I'm going to love him unconditionally, if I'm going to love him to the extent that I will his good, not mine, will I surrender? And in doing so, I start following. Any closing thoughts?
I don't know what you said about when you recognize he wasn't fully there yet. I think for me personally, you get these certain points, you get these wins, you get these victories, and then I'm not careful, I can't do very well. I start to think, you know, I start thinking like a man, like, I did this, I'm doing this, it's me. You start to forget. But then I'm always, when I read something this morning, I get these things on my phone, these daily Bible words. Anyways, talking about how the, you know, flesh is weak, the spirit is strong, and I wrote something like, yeah, the flesh is weak, the spirit is strong. Like, without the spirit, I'm dust. You can go back to Genesis, we're dust. Without the spirit, we're nothing. So I got to stay humble throughout this and sometimes recognize and realize I don't have it all fully. And that's okay. Let's find out what I don't have fully. Let's get it. You know, I think, you know, you can't, you gotta stay low, you have to stay humble. Or you'll get humble real quick.
Yeah. Yeah, with the short time that we have left, let me do it just dawned on me as I was hearing you speak, a little clarification, right? Oftentimes we think this is a reinstatement of Peter primarily because he denies Jesus three times prior to the crucifixion. Well, thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate you joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farming Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. We look forward to you joining us again next Sunday morning.